You're listening to New Retirement Radio, brought to you by the team at Prout Financial Design.
Hello, I'm your host, Certified Financial Planner Dennis Prout.
I'm Heidi Cartwright, Financial Advisor and RICP.
I'm Deanne Jennings, and I'm here to share data and dive into the world of finance with you.
Advisors associated with Prout Financial Design may be either 1, registered representatives with and securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC, and investment advisor representatives of CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor, or 2, solely investment advisor representatives of CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor, and not affiliated with LPL Financial. Investment advice offered through CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor, CG Advisory Services, and Prout Financial Design are separate entities from LPL Financial. Dennis Prout and Nathan Prout are solely investment advisor representatives of CG Advisory Services and are not affiliated with LPL Financial. The opinions voiced in this show program are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be suitable for you, consult the appropriately qualified professional before making a decision. WTCM News Talk 580. Welcome aboard. It's Thursday, and that means it's time for New Retirement Radio with Prout Financial Design. Joining us today in studio, not Dennis Prout, Nathan Prout is in. Good morning, Nathan Prout.
Good morning. How are you today, Ron?
Very well, sir. And you're traveling today with Deanne Jennings, also from Prout Financial Design. Hello, Deanne.
Good morning, Ron. It's so good to be here.
And special guest, Jennifer Ewing, who is a HR specialist, but is not here to talk about human resources, correct?
Not today.
Not today. So we'll find out why Jennifer's here in a few minutes. What are we doing today, Nathan?
Yeah, so, before we get into that, first off, if you have any questions today on what we discuss, you can text or call. And, Ron, do you have those numbers?
I do. You can call the hit line at 231 area code 947-0023 or text us at 833-728-1140.
That's correct. And there's also a rebroadcast at 9 a.m. on Saturdays. Before we get into our discussion with Jennifer, we do also have an update from Deanne in regards to Impact 100.
Absolutely. Thank you, Nathan. So Heidi and I are members, and actually Jennifer, our special guest today, is a member of Impact 100 TC.
Great organization.
It is a fantastic organization, and every year we like to give an update to our listeners about the winners that they announced. So we had our annual dinner Wednesday, September 27th, and all the members got to vote on the grant recipients. And we actually had $339,000 to give away, which was incredible. So,
and that's everyone gives a thousand.
Yes, every member gives a thousand. So obviously, we
had 339 women do that.
Yeah, wow. Isn't it incredible? Yeah.
Well, and your entire thousand goes to the grant, also
all of it, which is incredible purpose. But anyway, so the winners, one of the winners was the Freedom Builders, which was super exciting. And for over 22 years, Freedom Builders has met critical housing needs in northern Michigan, utilizing a dedicated group of volunteers at all ages. Freedom Builders facilitates services, projects that meet needs, and connects struggling families with people who care for them and can help. Freedom Builders has recently purchased a property in Chum's Village and is seeking funding to construct a building. So they're going to use the funds to build a warehouse for storage. So that's pretty exciting.
That's a good group. I've worked with them for years. Not actually hands-on, but to talk to them. But there's a lot of needs out there. You get maybe an elderly citizen, and the porch is caving in. There's a hole in the ceiling, and they don't know what to do. They call Freedom Builders, and they take care of it.
They literally said it that night that they're the last resort. If no one else helps, they will help. So it's pretty cool what they do and who they help. And then the second recipient winner is Dolly Parton's Imagination Library and Sunrise Rotary's Born to Read. They're working with Munson Medical Center to increase kindergarten readiness across Grand Traverse region. Just 44% of local children start kindergarten with literacy skills needed to succeed. And it was interesting that they shared, which really I was astonished by, they said half the babies born at Munson are using, or the parents are using Medicaid. Oh. Half born at Munson.
It's a big number.
That program, my wife is involved in that with Sunrise Rotary, but in essence, here's what happens at Munson. Now, every child who's born there, every baby that's born, the parents will be able to sign up on the spot. That baby, that child, will receive one book every month, age appropriate, for the first 5 years of its life. So that's 60 books, right?
Yeah.
Well, girl will have a library, but hopefully to encourage reading.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's a fantastic program. And then the third and final recipient was named, and it's United We Smile. It's a free dental center for children, pregnant women, veterans, and those with cognitive or development disabilities. And how it's pretty amazing how it's set up. Local volunteer dentists oversee dental interns from U of M School of Dentistry and NMC Dental Assisting School, while our community health worker oversees social work interns from NMC as part of a mandatory graduation requirement. These dental providers will now learn the skills necessary to be able to treat patients with challenging comorbidities, development disabilities, PTSD, and pre-cooperative behavior. And it's just fantastic what they're doing there, and the money's used to finish that building. So it's pretty neat how it's set up, and it's called United We Smile.
Well, in particular, they're looking to build a room that is sound resistant,
yes,
because a lot of the patients react to the noise of the drills and things, so they can be in a quiet place with the music or sound they choose, and it allows them to get the dentistry that they couldn't get otherwise.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's and she really was cool. Saying how amazing it is that they serve the people that other dentists normally would turn away,
yes,
not serve. So yes. It's
great news. And what's that called? Impact, what is it?
Impact 100. Yes, TC. So good job, ladies, for contributing in all worthy causes. And so it was fantastic. It was a great night, and so excited to see what the changes will bring to our community, to our area.
It was Impact 100 because they wanted to have 100 women, and now they have 339 women.
Yeah.
$1,000 each.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Call it Impact 1000 next.
Yeah. Yes.
That's
love
great.
That.
Thanks for that update, Deanne.
You're welcome.
So, yeah, as we previously mentioned, we do have Jennifer Ewing with us today of Human Resource Partners here in Traverse City. We will not be talking about human resources today, though.
Yay!
but Jennifer has some recent experience dealing with her parents' estate, and she has some helpful tips that she learned along the way. So what do you got for us today, Jennifer?
Well, thanks for having me, and I really consider this a pay it forward moment that hopefully some people will pick up some tidbits that they can utilize and make the transition for them and their family even simpler. And for me, I lost my mother in March, and my father passed in January of 2017. And I will say, when you lose that first parent, it's traumatic, but that second parent is still there. Everything just kind of transitions over to them. Mm-hmm. It's when you lose that second parent that all of a sudden all these parts start moving. And so just going to talk about that and some of the challenges and some of the things we learned along the way.
And I know, can I interrupt you one second?
Absolutely.
I know when we had our coffee together the other day, we were talking about it, and I love the fact that you're like, I'm going to share things about things I wish I would have known prior to their deaths. I'm also going to share things that I knew. I'm so glad I knew.
Absolutely.
And I love that. Like, you were prepared, and you're going to share those exciting things as well.
Right. And hopefully maybe some other folks could be prepared. And, mm-hmm. And you know, the first point I want to make is when my folks did their will, you know, whatever, 12, 13 years ago, and asked me to be the trustee, or not the trustee, the executor, I panicked and I was just, mm-hmm. oh my gosh, what this moment, I've been dreading it for whatever, 12 years, and, mm-hmm. and now it's come and gone, and it was not half as bad as I expected. So the first thing I'd say is you can do it. Don't panic. Just work through it, a check at a time, and you can get to the other side. And I think that's one of the first really important points is to have that will in place, have your children understand it, know where it is, how to get it, because it is a document that you will need as you start working through all the different parts of closing down your parents' finances. For me, I started doing my mom's billing about 5 years ahead of her passing, and so I count that as a great blessing because I knew what was coming in, what was going out, where
you mean
all
paying her bills. You
yeah,
mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So when the time came, I knew what bills there were out there. I knew what credit cards were out there. I knew the finances, and so I would just really encourage folks to get involved ahead of time, so that you have a handle on that. And in particular, when it comes to elderly and dementia, my dad passed with dementia, and it's interesting because you think, oh, well, if somebody has dementia, you'll know, right? You'll know that moment, but you really don't. And by the time we figured it out, my dad was unable to tell us what bank accounts he had, what finances he had. And so we spent a significant amount of time trying to unearth what we should have asked him, you know, right. two or three years previous. And so we really worked hard ahead of time, putting those beneficiaries in order and making sure all the I's were dotted and the T's crossed for when my mom passed so that we would have those things in place. I know I'm here with Prout and it probably sounds like I'm saying this because we're sitting in the room, but I'm not. I can't overemphasize the importance of working with a financial advisor. It takes a village, right? And so Prout supported me through the process, but also Kevin Manor of Manor Financial Group. Deanne, you asked me this when we were having coffee. You're like, did you use your financial people a lot afterwards? I said, no, it was before, because it was working with our financial folks and getting everything in order so that when the time came, it was easy. And
so the preparation is key, really,
yes,
to successful.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So the more upfront you can do, the less you'll have to do when the time comes. We also worked with an elder lawyer, putting together that power of attorney for health and medical, but also for financial. And so those are two different documents. And so at some point, we had to sign over the financial, and where I was able to take that over 100%. And just really, again, having those two documents in place so that you're not scrambling and trying to figure that out.
So how far in advance do you do that? If your parents are healthy and you say, hey, down the road, just in case, let's take care of this now. Sign this over to me so you won't have to do it if you're in a hospital bed or if there's an emergency.
Yeah.
Do you do that in advance?
Yeah, you want to do it while they're healthy for a couple of reasons. One is then they get to be part of it, right, and help design those decisions. The ones we did, they weren't executed until the signature, until I signed them. So that gave my mom some peace because she was a little bit like, well, I don't know if I want you in my finances yet. but the other part is back to the problem with a dementia is if your parents are too far, then they're not able to make those legal decisions. And so if you wait, again, too long, you're in a little bit of a scramble mode to have those them part of the legal decision. So I know a lot of people, like, I don't want to talk about death. My parents are going to live forever. The parents are like, I don't want to give up control. But if you're not doing these while people are healthy, it's going to sneak up on you for sure.
Yeah, and even with what Jennifer was saying about the power of attorney, too, you can look into different types of power of attorneys as well. So there's, I believe it's called a springing power of attorney. That would go off of something like a diagnosis or something like that. So it's not in effect until truly they're incapacitated, but then you're also not without it.
That's a great point, because we had to present from a doctor and from a mental health professional in order for it to activate. So, yeah, so I can't just sneak in and start taking money from mom.
And also, too, you're not an only child, correct?
Oh, that's a great point. There's four of us. I have three siblings, yes.
Was there any difficulty navigating who would be the power of attorney with that? Or
That is, no, there wasn't.
They were all
happy to advocate. But we all took different roles. My sister was a great caregiver for my mother. I have brothers and they serve different capacities, so we all had kind of our moments. So this was like my moment to step up to the plate type of thing. Yeah.
And I think it's also important to say those, you know, power of attorney for your healthcare and medical, which everybody I think gets and is in a hurry, a rush to do. But I feel like I hear a lot of people forget the financial power of attorney, which is so important.
So important. I can't tell you how many people bring us a power of attorney for healthcare and medical, and we're like, that's great that you have this, but we can't do anything with it.
Exactly. So.
Yeah. Did you go through a regular the elder care attorney to get that?
Yeah. So I used Riso and Wingfield here locally. Deborah Riso, and she was great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I know you're paying a little extra to utilize legal counsel, but then you know it's correct and you know it's going to work at the time. The other thing Deborah helped us set up was that quick claim deed or Lady Bird, and this allows the transfer of my mother's condo to go immediately from her to the four of us siblings. And Nathan, maybe I said to Nathan, like, maybe you could explain that a little bit more.
Yeah, just a couple of quick highlights on that. So it still allows full control to the grantor, in this case, Jennifer's mother, while she's alive. But then as soon as she passes, it gets a step up in basis. And then in this case, it splits evenly among the four children. So one, it makes that transition a lot easier because you don't have to deal with probate or anything like that. But two, that the tax savings that the Ladybird or the quit claim deed can provide can be pretty significant with that step up in basis.
What do you mean when you say step up in basis as far as the value and how, what like, can you give us numbers?
Yeah, so a hypothetical, if she bought a house for $50,000, obviously many years ago, and when she passes away, if it's now worth $500,000, then that, they don't have to, the beneficiaries don't have to pay that $450,000 of difference in capital gains.
Oh, okay.
As a hypothetical. Now, there are some numbers where, you know, if the gain's over a certain amount, then that comes back. Yeah,
like
exactly.
That. Yeah.
But,
yeah. So, and I'll have to say it worked really easily. Just went down to the government building and filled out some forms, and it just was from the beneficiary side of it, it was a super easy process. And so I was really happy that was in place.
So it goes to your four of you equally. Mm-hmm. Did you have to form any kind of legal unit,
like
before
LLC
of you?
Right. No, we each own 25%. So there's back to the dynamics, right? And the conversations you want to have ahead of time. The good news for us is we have great relationships, and so there wasn't anybody camping out on their fourth of the the land or something like that. But you could have that go to an individual child, or if I understand correctly, it can go beyond a child, like maybe a niece or a nephew also.
Yeah, that's correct. You obviously you want to get together with your attorney for anything like that.
Back to utilizing the attorney.
But it also allowed the provisions for one of you to purchase out the shares of the other siblings should you want to keep the house or the condo, whatever it was at that point, in the family, too.
Right, so. Absolutely.
Jennifer also has some stories to share about beneficiaries as well.
Right, and how important those beneficiaries are, because if you have the beneficiary, you can avoid the probate. So
and that's beneficiaries on like your retirement accounts or
right.
on everything?
So think IRAs, okay. annuities, stocks, your life insurance.
Okay.
And think about not only potentially a life insurance policy you're purchasing, but through your employer. So that's my HR side coming out is employees, please make sure those life insurance policies, you got those beneficiaries, because it's so important to your family upon your death. Funerals cost a lot of money, $15,000, $20,000, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000. So those life insurance can make a big difference. I will say, in general, life insurance probably is one of the more difficult parts of what I had to do. And so I just encourage everybody to stay tenacious. Don't take no for an answer. And in particular, I'll give an example, is my dad back in the 70s set up his beneficiaries for his stock through his or company he worked for, which carried into retirement. And I'd like to say this isn't $1 million. I mean, this is a small life insurance policy, but it and I only say that to say that even smaller policies can be a struggle. Well, he never updated the beneficiary, so when he passed, he had this 1970s trust that was listed from NBD Bank, which I said, and Nathan said, who's that, right?
It's exactly.
National Bank of Detroit, which has been purchased and purchased and purchased. This was a typed document with a carbon copy.
Wow.
So that took about 6 months to figure out. So I just, you know, don't put your family through that. Make sure those things are up to date. And that, you know, even when you go to the life insurance, if you hear the wrong answer, you want to be tenacious. And that's one of the things that I learned through all of this, not just life insurance, is when you call to report a death, you may or may not be dealing with someone who can help you at that moment. And when I called to report my mom's death for her life insurance, the gal said, well, it's only your father listed. There's no contingents. And I said, oh, I know there's contingents because my mom and I really worked on this to make sure the beneficiaries are in place. Nope, no contingents. So you need to get this affidavit and submit this. And I'm like, okay. And I wake up the next morning, an email from the company saying, oh, we're wrong. There are contingents.
Wow.
So that theme happened a lot.
Interesting.
Where the wrong doc, you know, fill out this form, then it turns out to be that form. Mm-hmm. So just, again, I want to encourage tenacity and just re-asking the questions. And, you know, with my HR hat on, I assume maybe she was new. She probably hung up the phone and maybe said, they're asking about a contingent. What the heck is that?
Yeah, right.
Right. So, yeah. So just stay tenacious.
It's such a good point. And we just want to pause as we're talking about beneficiaries. If you listen to the radio show at all, you know that we really try to preach. Check those beneficiaries. Like, make sure they're up to date and make sure they're accurate and correct, because you'll save your family from heartache. You'll save yourself from a headache. You know, every year, like we keep talking about Prout Financial Design, we need to designate a day to check your beneficiaries. I'm going to say July 1st, but anyway, we need
day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, check those beneficiaries.
Yes.
Yeah, and I know we were talking about power of attorneys earlier, too. Just a quick little side note, a power of attorney cannot change a beneficiary in the state of Michigan. We have people that have tried, but that's a state regulation, actually. So getting the beneficiaries in place, of course, obviously, when your parents are of sound mind and none of that dementia or anything terrible like that has set in.
So a little just 2 second side note, when you said state of Michigan, it made me think too is even the notary. So in Michigan, a notary doesn't have to have a seal and a stamp, but if you're sending a document across state lines, other places require those. Mm-hmm. And so you can even get tripped up on notaries and how it was signed and if it was signed to whatever state's liking. So.
And this is hopefully where your financial advisor steps in and helps you.
Well,
with
and
that.
They did. Okay. Thanks, Nathan.
And it's important, though. It's like you worked with your mom's financial advisor and you worked
absolutely.
With your personal financial advisor.
Yes. Yep. And then another thing I've learned along the way is bank accounts. You want to have the bank. You want your name or somebody's name on the bank account with your loved one. When they pass, you're still allowed to deposit checks in their name into the bank account. And I thought, oh, I have this checklist of all the things I'm supposed to do. I need to shut down the bank accounts. And they said, no, you want to wait because checks come in late. And I've even heard up to 5 years sometimes people having checks coming in. So I didn't shut that down because I want to have the ability to deal with any outside residuals. Yeah. And it does happen, so as you're shutting down insurances, potentially you've overpaid, and so you'll get the insurance rebate and those type of things. So
speaking of checklist, is there a checklist, a general checklist out there for how to handle this when your parents pass away, if you're the executor? Things to check, or maybe do ahead of time, as you say.
Yeah,
we do have a tool, actually, that we give to clients. It's called the Prout Planner. It doesn't cover probably everything, but it covers a very large portion of it, and it just gives the parents or whoever the opportunity to write down even things like passwords for online banking, some stuff like that, as well as beneficiaries. Do I have a will? Do I have a trust? All those sorts of things.
Mm-hmm. So a part of that checklist too is what needs to be turned off. So for instance, if there's a pension being paid in, you have to report the death. Social Security, though the funeral home tends to report the death. But what's interesting about these is sometimes the money continues to come in after it was supposed to stop. So like Social Security, for instance, they don't pay benefits for the month of death. So you die on the 30th of the month. That month you are not entitled to, yet there's probably going to be a check or a deposit coming through because it takes time. And so I remember saying to my sister along the way is I can really see where people could get into financial trouble because you think, oh, I have this Social Security check. I can use this money to pay for funeral expenses. But then all of a sudden the government's saying, no, we need that check back because your parent died on the 30th and not the 1st.
And that catches a lot of people by surprise. I remember talking it through with my mother-in-law years ago when my father-in-law passed away. Like, she was shocked. Like, she didn't get that month's Social Security check.
Yeah. Even though they were alive, basically, through the month. So just really be double-checking those as they come in and not spending if they're going to come back to the entity. Credit cards will need to be turned off, medical, dental, vision. And I was thinking, you have to turn off each one of those separately. And some are super easy where you just go online, fill out a form, upload the death certificate. Others, you need to still send in a paper copy of the death certificate. So I got 6. I probably would recommend at least 6 to 8 copies of the death certificate.
All right. We're speaking today with Jennifer Ewing, who is sharing her experience of being the executor of her parents' estate. Lots of good advice that you can do ahead of time. Joining us on the phone, Karen, with a question in Traverse City. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning.
Hi there.
I just wanted to clarify. I lost my mom last October, and she died on the 13th of the month, and they did put money in for her Social Security. It was directly taken out. And then my dad went to the Social Security office to get his last payment, which is very small. And they told him that that money should have stayed in his account, that you do get paid the month that you do pass away. And I know that for a fact because my dad just passed away in May, and we went through the same thing. They put the money in. They took the money out. I had to go to the Social Security office, and they told me that that money was rightfully ours, and that, and I still haven't gotten the check. I just got a letter yesterday saying that the money will be coming back to us. But you do get paid the month that you pass away.
When do those payments come in, Social Security, like once or twice a month?
Once a month. I don't remember what day my parents was, but it was, you know, it was like clockwork. But to get the money back, it takes a while, you know, to get it back from the Social Security after it's been withdrawn from the account.
So I guess...
So I had to go to the Social Security office, fill out paperwork saying that he had passed away. They wanted to know what dependents there were or what, you know, what siblings I had. We both had to fill out paperwork. And then what they do is they divide that money between whoever is surviving the parents.
How long did that take, by the way, from the time you filled out the paperwork till the time they processed that?
Like I said, my mom passed away in October, and I think it took my dad, when he tried to get hers, about 6 weeks. And my dad passed away in May, and I still haven't gotten the money back, but I did just get a letter saying that I would be getting a check here in the next week or so.
Okay.
So you're saying passed away in October, they gave you a payment in November, took it back, but November payment is rightfully yours?
Correct.
All right. So, well, Karen, thanks for the experience there. The bottom line is when your parents are, if they're collecting Social Security and they pass away, Social Security needs to be notified. Generally, you said the funeral home does that?
That they did in our case, yes.
Okay, and and then does Social Security communicate with you after that?
Nope.
Karen's
point is really interesting because it's inconsistent with what is said on the Social Security website. So it makes me think that maybe I have another checkbox to put on my checklist.
Good thing is that we have an office in Traverse City.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. We actually, Bob Simpson, we have our local Social Security expert. Yeah. So we'll ask him on that.
Yeah. He's going to be on the radio show. He's in the end of the month here. So.
Yeah, maybe he could cover that topic.
But you can make an appointment there for any Social Security needs and see somebody live and in person.
Well, either way, though, even to Karen's point, they do suck it. Suck it back out. I don't know if that's a technical term. They pull it back out of the account, so don't be spending some money that you don't have.
We'll go to Carolyn first, is calling in, who is retired from the Social Security office. Good morning, Carolyn.
Good morning, Ron.
Good morning. So you have some input on this question.
I do. The prior caller was gave you some wrong information.
I think she called back and talked to Colleen and said she was mistaken on something. Yeah. So what do you want to clarify here?
You have to live through the full month in order to be entitled to the Social Security check the next month.
Wow.
Both of my parents died on the 30th of the month.
Oh,
so when their check came on the 1st, it went back to Social Security.
What do you mean it went back to Social Security?
You don't get to keep the check if you don't live through the full month prior
to the check. Most people, if you got a check, wouldn't you just cash it? How did you know you had to send it back?
Well, the Social Security office notifies you.
Oh, they're right on top of that. Mm-hmm. Okay, I see.
Oh, yeah, they send a notice out. Well, as soon as they get the proof of death, then they'll send a notice out saying that we're withdrawing that check from the bank.
Wow.
Or
So even if
the main thing is people need to know that not to keep that check and spend it like the Prouts mm-hmm. were saying prior to that one phone call.
Okay. Wow. Yeah.
And obviously, just a quick point of clarification, too. So if you receive a check in October, that's for September. That's not for...
Yep.
So if you pass away in October, mm-hmm. receive your Social Security check, or, you know, as the mm-hmm. beneficiary, receive that mm-hmm. check. That's for September. You'll be able to keep that. Yeah. But, again, if you receive that one in November, that one's going back.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you, Carolyn. If you live 30 days, if you die on October 30th, you should get your October check in November. When it comes, Social Security is going to say, you have to send it back, mm-hmm. or we'll discontinue payment.
Right.
All right. One call before we move on here. Dave is in Traverse City. Good morning, Dave.
Morning, Ron.
Yes.
My question deals with beneficiaries and my 401k. I've got a defined benefit plan. I've got different aspects for my company. But my 401k, for whatever reason, I'm unable to put my trust as the beneficiary of that 401k. And I filled out the paperwork from my will and my trust. And I've got the agreement, and I've got the signature from my wife making the 401k allowed for her to have access through it through the trust. Is there a reason that might not be going through as a beneficiary?
Yeah, my first guess would be actually ERISA guidelines. So if they're not letting you name beneficiaries, it's because that 401k falls under ERISA, which will, you know, if you die while you still have the 401k, it will follow those ERISA guidelines as far as who the beneficiary is, which is probably why they're not letting you change that.
Well, and ERISA says the spouse has to be named as the...
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yep, the spouse, and then, you know, the children, if there are any, but then they'll follow, you know, whether it's nephews or nieces, depending on how the ERISA guidelines state that. So that's why they're not letting you name the trust would be my first guess. If you wanted to get around that, you would have to roll your 401k to an IRA. In an IRA, you can name the beneficiaries, even if you want to name a trust, but be really careful about naming a trust with qualified money, because trust tax rates are significantly higher than what individuals pay. For instance, anything over $14,000 of income to a trust is taxed at a 37% tax rate. For individuals, for you to be in a 37% tax bracket, if you're married filing jointly, you have to make over $700,000. again, there are reasons to have a trust potentially, but typically it is best to name individuals for qualified money. But again, with your 401k, I'm guessing you cannot name different beneficiaries because it falls into those ERISA guidelines.
Nathan, and just to clarify, you can't roll a 401k into an IRA if you're an active employee or if you're under...
It depends on the plan. Usually you can if you're over 59 and a half, okay. But that also depends on how the plan is written.
And
okay.
Dave, any follow-up question or there?
No, to clarify it, I do get notification of ERISA, so that is probably why that is taking place for my protection.
Yeah, and be careful, too, because you mentioned some other plans that fall under ERISA guidelines. So even though they're maybe letting you name your trust as beneficiary, if you die with those ERISA plans, they're still going to follow those guidelines no matter what you have named as the beneficiary.
Hmm. Oh, I did not realize that. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Yep.
Thanks, Dave. What is ERISA's governing body over what? What's ERISA?
It governs retirement plans.
Okay. Association of Retirement, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
All right.
But it does not cover retiree insurance, so just...
Yeah. Okay. It's the Employee Retirement Income Security Act of 1974.
There you go.
All right, we have about 3 minutes, okay, roughly, and just a few more good tips or experiences regarding being an executor for your parents' estate.
So I'll just rifle through some things really fast here at the end, but having that prepaid burial, the funeral service set up is a huge plus at the time of death. Everything's taken care of. Your parents' wishes can be part of that. Social media, knowing where you can get access to your parents' passwords to be able to shut down some social media accounts. It can be really difficult once they're gone and you don't know passwords or cell phones. And speaking of cell phones, before you shut down, if you have an iCloud, make sure you're grabbing those pictures off an iCloud, because as you shut down the cell phone account, it can also shut down the iCloud account. So. I had some points here at the end that I wanted to just touch on. So I already said the first, don't wait for dementia to sneak up on you. Be proactive. And this is for both the children and the parents who maybe you don't feel like it's time yet, but it probably is. If all four of you are named, so my four siblings were named, you're going to be working together. So just be mentally prepared for family dynamics. Like I said, I was lucky because ours are good, but not everybody, you know, just think through how all that's going to work. Every organization you work with wants different paperwork. Why there can't be just one system and everybody pulls from it, I have no idea, but you're going to see different paperwork. And if you get that wrong answer, don't panic. You know, keep asking or wait 24 hours and see if they don't come back with something different. And you'll need the social security numbers of your parents, too, so know if you have access to those. So having those tough conversations and preparing up front, I can't emphasize that enough.
Well, and the biggest thing we want to leave you with is know there are financial professionals who can help and navigate you through the details. Know to be tenacious, as Jennifer was talking about. Keep asking questions. And know that you're not alone in
this.
You're
not alone. I love that. Mm-hmm. And you're not, and you will make it through it.
Mm-hmm. Be prepared.
So, like Boy Scouts, right?
Yeah. Well, as you say, not a topic a lot of people want to discuss, but you can save a lot of time, money, and headaches if you are prepared. Get a team, right? Your financial advisors, lawyer.
Tax specialist.
Tax specialist.
Social security specialist.
Yes. And if you need a financial advisor, you can always call us. Our number is 231-947-3992.
And that is Prout Financial Design in Traverse City, Michigan. Nathan Prout in today. Thank you, Nathan.
Thank you, Ron.
Deanne Jennings, Prout Financial Design. Thank you.
Thank you, Ron.
And special guest today, Jennifer Ewing. Thanks for sharing your personal experience.
Thanks for having
me.
Thank
you. Yeah.